Today's message is the last message in the series that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. Before I read the section in 1 John, just want to read that one verse in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. And to the fellowship. Starting with 1 John, starting with verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that as we have looked at this word fellowship, this word koinonia, this word that it means the shared life of believers in Christ, Father, as we look into these passages of Scripture, I pray that you would bring to life these words in our heart. And I pray that we may understand further that this fellowship that we have with you, it not only affects us in our heart and our mind and our spirit, but affects us in how we live our lives. I pray that you would open our eyes that we may see, open our ears that we may hear, and open our hearts that we may receive your word today. I ask this in the name of Jesus, and everyone said, Amen. When we look at the background of 1 John, this epistle or letter is no different than other letters that are written in the New Testament. They are written to individuals. They are written to churches. They are addressing issues, something that is going on with the people in the church that needed either correction or instruction or even exhortation. John is writing this epistle from Ephesus towards the latter part of the first century. John is addressing claims of people in the church who say that they have fellowship with God, but who are living a lifestyle of sin. John is addressing these false teachers, these prophets who are trying to lead people astray by their teachings. Now, we have looked at this word fellowship. The Greek word is koinonia. Sometimes you'll see that word, koinonia. It is the shared life of believers in Christ is what they have in common. It is what they share together. We have looked at the common faith that these believers have shared in Christ for salvation. We have looked at the common faith in these believers who believe in the resurrection of Christ. We've looked at this again, these shared believers that they have chosen to belong to a church, a group of Christians in Christ through membership. Now today I want to take a look at the common lifestyle of believers in Christ. John addresses three conditions that believers share in common while in fellowship with God and with one another. For those of you who do take notes, the first point is that the first condition of fellowship with God is to denounce a lifestyle of sin. When we look in 1 John, we look at starting there with verse 6, this is the first claim. The first claim there in verse 6, it says, if we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. A person's verbal profession to know God is to be tested by that person walking in the truth of God's Word. Now, the historical background, the philosophical background of what's going on here with 1 John, it is the Gnostic philosophy that started in the first century. It ran rapid in the second century, and the church had to deal with it. This part of this Gnostic, it's called Gnosticism, part of this teaching was that that spirit was good and that matter was evil. In essence, what they were saying, that what a person did in his body did not affect his spirit. And this is the lie that's going on. That we can live any way we want, that we can even live a lifestyle of sin, and it won't affect my relationship with God. Now, there is a present-day modern teaching of this. It's called anti-nomianism. Anti means against. Nomos means law. This is the belief that there are no moral laws that God expects Christians to obey. Since I am saved by grace, then I can live any way I want and still be saved. Now, Paul deals with that particular issue in Romans chapter 6. In fact, if we just turn there for a moment, in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, let me just go back up to chapter 5, verse 20. It says, the law was added so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We die to sin. How can we live in it any longer? And then, if you go on and continue to read those scriptures, he'll talk about that. Now, there's also another modern philosophy. It's called postmodernism. This is the belief that there is no right and there is no wrong. Everything is relative. You can believe what you believe, and you can live any way you want, and I can believe what I believe, and I can live any way I want, and there's no right or wrong. But the truth is, sin has a way of hindering and may even cut off our fellowship with God. The truth is that what we do with our body and with our mind does matter. It does affect our relationship with God. Now in 1 John, let's turn to chapter 3. Let's take a look at verses 4 through 10. And then I'm going to go back to the Gospel of John, who also kind of sheds a little bit more light on that as well. But 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 4. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared, meaning Jesus, so that He might take away our sins. And in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but let's go to the Gospel of John in chapter 3. The Gospel of John in chapter 3. Take a look at verses 4 through 10. Starting actually at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and his deeds will be exposed. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what is he has done has been done through God. When John is talking in 1 John in chapter 3, when he says, whoever is born of God does not continue to sin. That word is a continuous action, does not basically live a lifestyle of sin. He is not saying a person who is born again, born of God, who has experienced salvation in Christ, does not sin. He's not saying that a person will never sin again, but he is saying that a person who has been born again does not continue to live in a lifestyle of sin. There has to be a change in a person's life. And so we can see also in the Gospel of John, which also kind of gives that initial light, and he continues to pick that up in 1 John, that people don't want to come into the light because they don't want to stop what they are doing. They don't want to make changes in their life. They are happy with how their life is. They want to continue to do the things that they want to do. So we can see that this fellowship, there was a common lifestyle of believers in Christ who had an understanding that if you have been saved, had you have been born again, then when Christ comes into your life, your life does change. Matter of fact, it is a continuous changing in our lives, a changing of our beliefs, a changing of our values, a changing of our behaviors. It is a lifestyle change that takes place, but it is a change that takes place over the entire lifetime of an individual. So when these Gnostic believers, these teachers who are in the church, who are propagating this understanding that you can live any way you want, because the body is evil, so there's nothing that can change that, but your spirit is good. And as long as you try to serve God in your spirit, because you have that separation there, they say, that it doesn't matter. You can sin, but it doesn't matter because it doesn't affect the spirit. You know, many times you will have people who say that I'm a Christian, that I believe in God, I believe in Jesus. But yet, you will see their life, that what they do contradicts what they say. And this is what John is trying to get across to the believers there at the church, at the churches there, that don't believe these people who say that you can live any way you want and still believe in Jesus. The second claim, let's take a look at 1 John, again, chapter 1, verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You see, the Gnostic teaching also, again, continued to say that what we do with our body does not affect our spirit, but it also basically said that I have no sin in my spirit because there is that separation of body and spirit. Sin is not part of my spirit, of my inner nature. The truth is that we are all born with a sinful nature. You can take a baby and you don't even have to teach a baby, but you'll begin to see signs, and even in a little child, of signs of lying or stealing or fighting. It's part of their nature. We have that human nature. But when we become born again, basically, God doesn't eradicate our sinful nature. Matter of fact, God's nature is now added to us. And it is through the Spirit, it is through our choice to yield to the Spirit, and in yielding in Jesus as Lord of our lives, then we begin to live according to that new nature. But if we live according to the old nature, then we'll continue to live and do the things of that nature. You see, the truth is that sin has a way of deceiving a person to believe a lie. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Who can understand it?" In verse 9, the truth is that if we confess, the word confess, it means to agree with. If we confess, if we agree that we have sinned, then He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The third claim is in verse 10. "If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives." If we claim we have not sinned, this is the belief that what we did was not sin at all. It was not sin before God. Now, people will call it a mistake. People will say, "Oh, that was just a bad judgment." People will say, "Oh, it's just personal weakness, human frailty." Some will even say hereditary. They'll blame it on their genes. They will say that I am an alcoholic or I'm a drug addict because my mother, my father was an alcoholic and I got their genes. And that's why the way that I am. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." You see, the truth is, in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, He says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." You see, John is writing to these Christians not to fall into the false claims of these false teachers, these false prophets. That it doesn't matter how we live our lives as long as we believe. But John is saying that if we do sin, and we all have experienced that as Christians, even after being saved and born again, we all have experienced sinning after becoming saved. But he says that if we confess that sin, if we don't try to hide it, we don't try to ignore it, we don't try to deny it, but we acknowledge, "I messed up, I've sinned, I have sinned against God," then we can receive forgiveness for our sins. And we can continue to have that fellowship with God. That's what he says there in verse 7. If we walk in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now, that meaning that one another is not saying with our brothers here. He's saying that with one another, meaning with Jesus and us. Okay? That we will have this fellowship between Jesus and us. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. As long as we continue to walk in the light, walk in the truth of God's word. And God's word says that if we sin, then we confess our sin. We acknowledge our sin. We don't hide our sin. We don't deceive ourselves that, hey, it was just a mistake. We acknowledge it. And then when we can acknowledge it, we confess it. Then that fellowship continues, and the blood, the effect of the cross for our forgiveness continues to purify us from all sin. The second condition for fellowship with God is obedience to the teachings of Christ and His Word. When you look in chapter 2, look at verses 3 through 6. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who said, now again, this is the claim, the man who says, I know Him, I know Christ, I know God, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. See, the Gnostics, they prided themselves in knowing God. They prided themselves that they had a secret knowledge of knowing God. And yet you had to be initiated into this rite where you would receive this secret knowledge of God. But the truth is that to know God is to obey, is to walk or to order one's life according to what one knows of God. Now, there's a difference between a person who can have facts about God and a person who knows God. You know, when I was first stationed in Japan in the Navy, in Hawaii as in the Navy, I was raised as a Catholic, and through the Catholic Church, through their teachings, I came to believe that, or at least I was told that I was a Christian, that I had been baptized as a baby, I remember receiving my first communion in first grade. I remember doing our first confession in first grade. I remember our confirmation in sixth grade. And so I believed that I was a Christian. I had done these certain things that the church said that we had to do. But that was one thing. The reality was that I lived my life as if I was not a Christian. That was the reality. So when John says here in verse 3 of chapter 2, he says that if we obey His command, the man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar. Now, you can't tell a person who says that they know God, but you know them. You know their lifestyle. You know how they live their life. And if you tell them that you don't know God, that you're not saved, you're not a Christian, they'll get mad at you. They'll tell you, you're crazy. I know God. But you see, they're deceived. They're blind. They're spiritually blind to themselves. Let's take a look at John chapter 14. Let's go back to the Gospel of John. You see, all of these things, John's teachings, stem from the teachings of Jesus. In John chapter 14, verses 15 through 26. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Because before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and my Father, that you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Go to verse 23. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Now look at chapter 15, verses 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Let's go back to 1 John. Let's take a look at chapter 5. Verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. Now, go to the next epistle, which is 2 John. 2 John and then verse 4. There's only 13 verses in that epistle, but verse 4 in 2 John. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that we walk, that you walk in love. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teachings of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teachings has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. There's a big difference there between a person who says that they know God and their lifestyle. What you believe in your heart has to match up with how you live your life. The third condition of fellowship with God is to love one another. In 1 John, in chapter 2, look at verse 7. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light, anyone who claims to be a Christian, anyone who claims to be, who say they have fellowship with Jesus, okay, but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. The word hate, it means to feel intense dislike, an aversion, a hostility towards someone. You see, hate is the opposite of love. The Gnostics believed that they were superior to other people because they had a special knowledge of God. They looked down on these other people in the church. They tended to separate themselves from other people and only associated with those who had accepted their message. Now, if we take a little bit of a background on this, let's take a look in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Look at verses 12 through 17. Gospel of John, chapter 15, starting verse 12. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he may lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. Now, if you go back to John also, but the 13th chapter, look at verse 34. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. You know, when we look at these conditions of having fellowship with God and having fellowship with one another, now remember, I want to remind you, we are talking about that the early disciples, it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. That they voluntarily joined these group of people who had just had the same experience of salvation, who had now come into faith in Christ. Remember, we talked about that they shared a common faith. They shared this common association, this membership with one another. But they also had a common lifestyle. We looked at this common lifestyle that if we say that we have fellowship with God, then our life has to match up with what we confess in our hearts that we know Jesus, He's our Savior. It has to affect our lifestyle. Now, we're not saying that you're perfect. And John, he says that. Look, if we sin, we can continue to keep that fellowship with Christ if we confess our sins. But if we try to deny it, if we try to ignore it, then we only deceive ourselves, and then we're not walking in the light. We're not walking in the truth. We're not, that fellowship has to continue, but it has to continue in truth. Then he says that if we say that we know him, then we have to obey him. There is that obedience factor there. We all can't get around it. In 1 John chapter 5, he says that this is love. That we obey his commands, and his commands or his teachings are not burdensome. The only reason why God's teachings, Christ's teachings, become a burden, become a hassle, is when we don't want to do it. And there is that struggle between our sinful nature that we are born with and the new nature that we have received from Christ. That's the struggle, the inner struggle. Who are we going to submit ourselves to? Who are we going to yield ourselves to? To the Spirit? To Christ's teachings? Or to ourselves, to what we want? That's the struggle. And as I said, it only becomes burdensome, it only becomes hard when we don't want to. When we don't want to. That's the heart. But once you yield to Christ as Lord of your life, as Master of your life, and you embrace His Word that gives you guidance of what you are to do, how you are to live your life, once you embrace it and you give yourselves to it, then it becomes easier. The motivation is there, it's a lot easier, but it is energized by the Spirit. You still can't do it in yourself. Okay? You still can't do it because we still have this sinful nature. It is through the Spirit that we can do it. And then, last, as part of this fellowship with Christ, this lifestyle, is that we cannot hate. It says, if we hate our brother, meaning if we hate our Christian brother, okay, our sister, then we're in darkness. Because we have violated the command of Christ. And he says, look, I'm leaving, but I'm giving you a command. That you are to love one another. And this is how people will know that you are my disciples. That you love each other. That you treat each other right. Okay? That you put... In other epistles it says that you put other people's interests ahead of your own. Now, we're not saying that you're a doormat. We're not saying that you are to do everything for everybody else and not for yourself. There's a balance there. What he's talking about is that you're not selfish to the point that I come first. I come first. And that's really the emphasis of our day and age today, is me. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. It's not about what you want. It's about what I want. That spirit of this age that we are living in today, it goes against with what Christ is all about, that we are to love one another. Okay? The hate part. Now, every one of us has experienced a real hurt from somebody, okay? Or that we think that we've been offended by somebody. Because somebody hasn't done what we thought that they should do. They haven't treated us the way that we think that they should treat us. I remember when we first became Christians and my wife's brother, when I got out of the Navy the first time in San Diego, we came back to San Antonio, and her brother lived here with an aunt while their family lived in Michigan. He stayed behind, lived with an aunt, so when we came back, quite naturally, the aunt said, hey, Esperanza, this is your brother. I mean, can he live with y'all? So, yes, okay, so we took him in. And, when you take somebody into your home, it's not voiced, but it's kind of expected. Kind of expected that they would kind of either clean up after themselves, or it's kind of expected that they would kind of lend a helping hand. You know, it's kind of expected, but you don't say it. Well, that's kind of the way it was. And I remember at one particular time I was painting the outside of the house, and he takes off, and I'm thinking here, I'm on the ladder, I'm on the house, thinking, man, you know, he doesn't even come and ask me, do I need any help, or can I help you, or whatever. I'm thinking this, right? I'm thinking, man, this guy's ungrateful, man, you know, he's living with us, he doesn't pay no rent, you know, I mean, at least he could say, hey, can I help you? I'm thinking this, right? So I'm being offended because of my expectations, right? And so I began to harbor these thoughts. I began to feed on these thoughts. I began to get a little bit of ill feeling towards this guy. Well, if you're going to be a Christian, then there's a clash between what Jesus says. If you say that you know God, if you say that you know Him, and God says that you got to obey His teaching, which is to love one another, well, is that love? So, before we close, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Most of you know that this is the love chapter. This is the definition of love for us Christians. Verse 4, chapter 13, 1 Corinthians. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking or selfish. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. That's what I was doing. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So, you can use that as a guide to see if you are loving your brothers. When we say loving your brother, we're talking about loving fellow Christians. Okay? If you're not patient with fellow Christians, if you're rude with fellow Christians, okay? If you harbor wrong from fellow Christians, then he's saying, you know, you're not really walking in the light. You're not obeying my teaching of loving one another. That's hard to do sometimes. As we all know, because people all can say about every one of us, man, that person's something else. We all know what that means, right? We all means that, man, they have behaviors or they have beliefs that are just hard, or they're not like mine, or it's not like what I think they should be. And we all harbor that. So at some point, if we're going to follow Christ, if we're going to have fellowship with Him, if we're going to continue to walk in Him, it has to be dealt with. It has to be dealt with. Because we cannot continue to live like that with those things in our heart against somebody else. We can't do that. We can't continue to live. Christ won't allow us to. He's going to deal with us. He's going to shine the light on us. He's going to say, hey, you know what? You're not walking in love. You're not being very patient. You're rude. You're mean. Now, I was telling my wife, I said, you know, as you get older, you're getting mean. Now, I'm sure she said the same thing about me. You see, to have fellowship with Christ, if we're going to have this common relationship, this fellowship, then there are certain conditions for it. Okay? We can't say that I haven't sinned. We can't say, oh, that's just a mistake. We can't say, you know what, I mean, you know, we can't do that. We've got to continually confess our sins. And we have to continually follow the teachings of Christ as best we can. So sometimes it means that we have to kind of go back to square one, which is, okay, which is repentance. Go back to, we looked at it about the under the teachings part, about the elementary teachings of Christ. It says repentance. That's the first rung on the ladder, is for us to acknowledge we are walking, we are living, we are doing, we are in the wrong direction here. And we got to turn around. We got to make a change in our life. And we got to confess our sins. Now, everybody's looking at me like, that's not me. Ask me to ask you to stand to your feet. We're going to continue with our teaching on Wednesday night. We've got a new air conditioning out there for here, and thank God for that. I'm going to ask that you would lift your hands towards heaven, receive the blessing today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.